Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon, evening, morning, whenever you listen to this. It is WrestleNomics Radio, Thursday 30. I am Chris Gello, joined alongside Brandon Thurston. And normally on a Thursday 30, we break down the AEW rating. And sometimes quarters come in on time. I don't think we're lucky today. But we'll break down ratings and a lot more here on the Thursday 30.
No, I have no quarter hours at the moment. What is behind you?
Buried Alive, 1996, yes.
That is a tombstone?
That is a tombstone with Mankind and The Undertaker on it. Mm-hmm. October 20th, 1996 is the date. And this is Undertaker coming back to life after being buried by multiple heels. And the Executioner and Mankind.
Always took many heels to take The Undertaker out. I'm thinking about being for Halloween this year.
I think it'd be a good Nick Khan. You go the beard out a little more.
No, do you know where you're going as?
For Halloween, I mean, I have three costumes because three different situations.
You're going to three Halloween parties?
No, not necessarily. So at work, they're doing a theme where they're doing Alice in Wonderland. So I'm being the dragon in it with the Jabberwocky. Whatever, it's a thing in my job. For the game, the Bills game on Sunday night, I'm dressing like the ultimate heat magnet.
Okay.
An NFL referee.
And that is the 30th, so not quite.
Yes. Halloween. And then Halloween. Go ahead.
I'm thinking about going as a clean finish. Scariest thing to everyone in wrestling, really, especially bookers and promoters. Anyway, what do we have to talk about today? What do we want to do?
Well, like I said, we're going to discuss the ratings as they did come in here for AEW last night here. So let's get right to it here.
Mm-hmm. First of all, this is a Thursday 30. We got a couple more weeks. This is the last one. This is the last time. This is for free for everyone. And then next week, this becomes patron subscriber only. Patreon.com/WrestleNomics. So the Dynamite rating just came out. That's the newest news. We've got a 0.32 in the demo. 997,000 viewers. Under a million. Under a million. So, bad rating, right? Pretty normal rating relative to what they've been doing lately. We've got some other stuff we'll get into. If we look at the gauges real quick here, which are based on the prior 4 weeks versus, this rating versus the prior 4 weeks when we're talking about total viewership and in the demo, and I just sort of combined those two deltas here to give us a quick look at, was this a good rating or a bad rating? And Dynamite is plus 1%. Pretty normal. New Japan did better than usual, smaller viewership, though. NXT did a really good number this past Tuesday. Give it up for NXT. Raw was down a little bit. Rampage was up slightly. SmackDown was very normal. So I don't know if there's a lot to take from this this Dynamite number. But we've got, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Bravo did outrank it, as well as two NBA games and the Sports Center that came after the late game, which involved the Lakers. So it's pretty close on to what's been happening lately for Dynamite. I don't see much to analyze here.
Yeah, I mean, they're back in their normal time slot, and it's kind of a return to normalcy. There was no big story or anything like that. Next week they're hyping up Jericho versus a former Ring of Honor champion, so who knows if that will generate.
So we look at the year-over-year changes. Since we're at the end of the month, might as well look at these. We've got what's left here. We've got Rampage and SmackDown. I guess Impact also. We don't have year-over-year comparisons for New Japan. But we do have another Raw to go. But we're almost all the way through the month here. And we're using medians, so those are harder to change with additional data points anyway. And we've got what shows are up. We've got Raw up in October versus the October of last year. We got NXT up versus the October of last year. The first time that NXT is up in both total viewership and the demo in more than a year. It's been more than a year since NXT has been able to say that they're up in total viewership and in the demo versus the same month of the prior year. There are takeaways to have here as far as the momentum of the professional wrestling business here. Raw is doing fairly well, I would say, especially... Well, in last year it was going against the NFL too, but it is up 6% in total viewership and in the demo. I would say Raw is doing pretty well. SmackDown is basically dead even, and it was last month too. And we've got the green bars over here to sort of show you what the typical non-news program is doing. And, 10% is the norm for those programs. And even Dynamite's outperforming that. Rampage continues to be, way more than double digits, down more than 20% in total viewership, down more than 40% in the demo. So Rampage is way off. And now we're into a territory where, the Rampage comparisons are not, we're not comparing Rampage in August versus Rampage in the debut month of August of last year. Now we're into October. And we're not even in September, where, it was still a pretty hot period. This is October, and I don't expect that the comparisons are going to look much more favorable anytime soon, because it's been a pretty significant decline that's happened for Rampage over the last 6 months or so. I don't know. I don't see a ton more to take away from here. Have you been watching baseball lately?
Yes, I have.
Have you seen this advertisement for AEW Dynamite on TBS?
Yeah, 3.5 million.
You saw this with your own eyes. This 3.5 million graphic.
Well, I probably saw the commercial because watching baseball, but then it was all over. Well, it was all over Twitter. I saw.
So what is this for people listening in audio? What does this graphic say?
It says 3.5 million viewers. Source: year to date through October 2nd. L plus D 1 minute qualifier. So
what does L plus SD mean?
I should know this, but that I do not know. L plus SD.
What could that possibly mean in a ratings context?
I know.
Take a guess.
Hold on.
L, something begins with L plus SD. SmackDown? Does it stand for SmackDown? SmackDown.
No, it wouldn't be SmackDown. Something plus standard.
Standard definition.
Live and same day.
Live and same day. There you
go. Yes, I should have known that.
Live and same day. Viewers, listeners around the globe are
yelling at me. They're yelling at me.
So, what is this? What do you think this means? 3.5 million viewers. Has Dynamite ever done 3.5 million viewers across the whole show?
No.
What's the biggest Dynamite rating ever?
What was it? It was a little under 2 million, right? That was the debut episode.
Which was how much?
Like 1.8, right?
1.4.
Oh, 1.4, okay. I thought it was closer to 2.
When we say 1.4 million viewers, or this episode last night did 997,000 viewers, what does that mean?
That's the average.
Average in what way?
Average total audience over the time span of the program. So at one point, it probably was obviously much higher than 990,000 watching, and same thing, lower than 997,000. So it's an average. So there could possibly be that, like, by in 1 minute of time, 3.5 million people were watching. But
yeah, so this is saying my understanding, and so I've don't know if I've asked about this, but I was told. I didn't even have to ask about this. This is a TBS campaign, not something that necessarily AEW has pitched. But this is what I think. So 1 minute qualifier. My understanding is that means this is the number of people, 3.5 million viewers, this is the number of people who checked out at least 1 minute of Dynamite. Of Dynamite since the year began? Or is that what it averages? Not clear. Anyway, it's a bigger number than they normally do on the average over the course of the show. But what I was trying to get you to say, I guess, is that the numbers that we talk about, the number that we just talked about, 997,000 yes. viewers, that is a minute-by-minute average. So we're taking all 120 minutes. We get the... And I don't know what what those individual data points are really made of. Is that a unique number of people who are tuned in? I'm not sure how exactly Nielsen rules people in and rules people out there. Maybe majority minute, but anyway. It's a minute-by-minute average that we talk about every day, every week. This is some voodoo here. I guess a lot of people saw that during the baseball. Speaking of baseball... next week, Dynamite may be going up against the World Series. We've already passed the championships, the league championships. Now we are on yes. the World Series.
Yes, because both Phillies. Series ended quickly.
Okay, was it a sweep or something for both? Or?
Phillies won in five, but the Astros swept the Yankees.
Wow, where was Aaron Judge?
The a lot of conversations. The managing skills of Aaron Boone as far as the Yankees.
Okay. So we've got a World Series that starts tomorrow night, Friday night, and that will go against SmackDown, probably against Rampage too. Baseball mm-hmm. game's going to go until 11, probably, you think?
Yeah. And I'll be watching that. I could tell you that right now. I'm putting it on the gauntlet. That's what I'll be watching.
And you'll also have SmackDown on, and Rampage on a separate screen, I'm sure. Game two is Saturday, not relevant to us. Monday night. So game three is Monday night. That will go against Raw.
Yep.
And Tuesday, game four, will go against NXT. If it's not a sweep, game five is going to be going against Dynamite. These are all 8 o'clock starts. And then game six will be Friday night. Not this week, but again, next week. So potentially two consecutive weeks of SmackDown and Rampage going against the World Series. Game seven is a Saturday if necessary, so not relevant. We've been here before. It will be something, maybe a little bit of a bite, but this is not Monday Night Football to Raw, let's say, which Raw will be going against in addition to the World Series next week, Monday. But it's a convenient excuse if you have a really bad rating. But I expect, a little bit, but we've been here before. I don't think it'll be huge, but it will be, could be meaningful. These are quarter hours that we do have for SmackDown. And do you see anything significant here in the quarter hours? I know there was a Logan Paul live promo, an angle with the Bloodline, which didn't perform especially well. Some material to add to a case, if you want to say that Roman Reigns, not really a TV draw, although I would argue that he is a draw in other ways, including merchandise, including web search, whatever that impresses, to whatever meaning that has. People have pointed out, and I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it, but that these damage control segments, so damage control against Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi, which continued into quarter hour six here, did coincide with a 10% decrease in the viewership. So, yeah, something to maybe watch for as these quarter hours continue to come out.
Q2 looked good in comparison. That looked pretty substantial.
Which was the last 2 minutes of Sheamus versus Solo Sikoa, post-match angle with the Bloodline and ad break, Rey Mysterio, Imperium backstage, Bray Wyatt promo.
Bray
Wyatt? Maybe. I don't think that was especially long, but maybe. And then Bloodline backstage. It's a lot of piecemeal stuff there. But anyway, Rampage quarters, I don't see much of anything happening here that's that interesting to talk about, but there they are. Raw, the quarter hour three did stand out for Raw this past Monday, which was a live promo with Johnny Gargano, Miz, and yes, R-Truth. Ageless R-Truth. Despite two ad breaks in this quarter, which usually, you know, if you look at this other quarter that had two ad breaks in it, we had to light it up red because it did lose viewers more than usual. But this one, which had two ad breaks in it, this 8:30 quarter to 8:45, up 10% total, up 11% in the demo for those three. Meanwhile, most of this show lost viewers, except for the final quarter. But if we look at the demo, this was like a dynamite. This show lost viewers. Of course, quarter R3 usually does. But most of this, I guess we do have these three quarters off the top here that gained in the demo. But, yeah, so maybe something there. In YouTube views, we do have to call out, my script broke, as you can see by these oddly shaped streamers. Usually you have streamers, right? It's like a All Japan match in the 90s. But my stream broke, so I don't have a perfectly shaped line graph here. But we do know that 2.7 million views is what the Omos and Braun Strowman video did, which is a lot more than any other. And then we do have Logan Paul and the Bloodline doing really well as a YouTube video. Meanwhile, we got the MJF video from last night on a trajectory to greatly exceed anything else. It's not quite reached the Orange Cassidy video from Rampage, but it's certainly on trajectory to do so.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So that's the ratings. Any strong takeaways here? Questions, comments?
Nothing out of the norm, you know, strange. And you said, you know, you showed that momentum chart a little bit ago. And, you know, October's
momentum
a tough
chart. What is a momentum chart?
Well, the chart that said maybe there's a little momentum with the programs generally being up this month. October's a very tough sports month. So
you're talking about this chart?
Yes.
Or the gauges? This is year over year.
Yeah.
By month, yeah.
But October is a very it's very big sports month. So it's tough.
Remember, we're comparing October of this year to October of last year. There was a World Series last year.
Yes.
There was an NFL last year.
But even with the gauges too, I mean, the gauges looked good. We could go to the gauges again. Yeah, like it's you know, for NXT and for Dynamite. And
this,
you know,
is testing the most recent episode versus its trailing 4 weeks.
Yes. So yeah.
Okay. Do you want to tell us about CM Punk?
Tell
us about this report that one of my favorite, actually my favorite improv performer, Nick Hausman, came out with last night from Wrestling Inc.
Yeah, so Nick Hausman stated, we've been told that AEW has not reached out to Punk since the incident following the All Out Mania scrum in which Punk and his friend and trainer Ace Steel reportedly got into a backstage brawl with AEW EVPs Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. From the perspective of Punk's camp, Punk's locker room door was kicked in and accidentally hit Punk's dog Larry in the face. At the pre-scheduled veterinarian appointment a few days later, Punk was informed that two of Larry's teeth had been knocked loose and had to be removed. Wrestling Inc. has been told that Punk felt threatened and reacted in a legal way under Illinois Castle Doctrine laws, which allowed for the use of force in defense of a person in their dwelling. At this time, there's no litigation against Punk on behalf of anyone involved. It was also relayed to us that Steele's wife, Lucy, was in the room during the incident, but has not been interviewed as part of the internal investigation into that matter. Finally, we were informed that following Hangman Adam Page's comments on a May episode of AEW Dynamite alluding to backstage concerns about Punk, there was distrust on Punk's end going into the AEW World Championship match with Page at Double or Nothing 2022, and that Punk was concerned that the predetermined match would break down into a real physical fight. So there's a lot there, Brandon.
Yes. CM Punk was afraid that Hangman was going to shoot on him. Which sounds like something that CM Punk would believe. Have you ever encountered, I'm not asking you to name names, of course, but do you have any memories of people who thought that they were going to go into a match where someone was going to shoot on them?
Yes. Multiple occasions. I won't name names. Multiple occasions. Because some promoters think it's actually funny to book guys against each other that have real heat.
Or that maybe somebody would stiff somebody.
Yes,
intentionally hostile.
Well, again, not naming names, but we would have people get upset that somebody rolled their bag and they were only a few years in the business or didn't shake their hand.
Yeah. It was on your duffel bag or something?
Yeah.
No. I've never felt that way. No, I've never felt that way.
You've never seen that or felt that was going to happen?
Well, I don't know if I've seen it or not, I have to think. But
you didn't have a match like that yet.
I've never, like, nothing jumps to mind of like, oh man, is this person going to hurt me for real or stiff me on purpose? I don't think that I've ever felt that way.
No, I was a little worried about a match where I was a manager, and it was with a WWE legend because he chops the manager, and he's notorious for if he thinks a certain way of you, he actually lays it in, and if he actually respects you, he gives it to you pretty light as a feather. I fortunately got the light as a feather
because he respects you, brother.
Yes.
But anyway, there was a video last night. It appears that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are coming back. So, and we had Dave Meltzer a couple days ago saying it feels like Dave using his sixth sense. It felt like to him that the investigation was wrapping up. So, I mean, I'm sure they're not putting the likenesses of Young Bucks and Kenny Omega on television like they did last night in a video, in a obviously pre-made video, unless they were coming back. Sean Ross Sapp also reporting that I believe either Kenny or maybe both of them were maybe going to be in the back or were in the back. So,
yeah, I guess on the Observer Radio, Alvarez and Meltzer talked about like they were there backstage, but obviously they weren't on the show.
Okay, so not looking like they're going to be fired, right?
No.
But CM Punk probably not coming back to AEW anytime soon, if ever, I would think. No. That's my expectation. And that's kind of what you get from reading the Wrestling Inc. article, right? With reports from Camp CM Punk, which could be a television program of its own. We've got some update, kind of an update, on Hulu. I've been watching closely. This has actually gotten me to subscribe to Hulu, and my trial has now rolled over into a paid account. So WWE, if you want to, you can put it over to your business partners, you know, just how you've drawn at least one extra sub here, because I've had to monitor this ongoing situation. So this is a screenshot from a couple days ago, I believe Monday, where there's all these expiration tags expiring today, some of them expiring the following day. And this has happened a number of times before, and the content has never actually gone away. And it's the same thing again here, is that if you look at Hulu now, you won't see any of these expiration tags. It all looks like it's there indefinitely again. So I'm guessing Hulu and WWE came to another, maybe short-term, could be long-term agreement, to continue to keep the Raw content, the NXT content, and other content, excluding SmackDown, on Hulu. SmackDown has not been tagged with expiration tags. It has been there the whole time on Hulu. So this is in connection with the belief that, I don't know, I have, that the Hulu deal is coming to an end, or their original deal, I believe, most likely came to an end in September, at the end of September, and they've been making at least short-term extensions to that deal. I think this would be like the third time, if not more. Again, I believe that WWE is at least considering the notion that they will try to sell these next day rights currently held by Hulu along with live rights. At least I think it would behoove them, I think, to have that option on the table, especially if they're dealing with a big streaming player like Amazon. I think they would want those rights, those next day rights currently held by Hulu, to expire in conjunction with the expiration of the live rights so that they would be available to sell to someone such as Amazon along with the live broadcast of Raw or SmackDown. So we'll see what happens. SmackDown seems like a real possibility to me for Amazon, especially in light of, and I don't think we've really talked about this yet. In I don't know if we touched on how well the NFL has done on Amazon in terms of viewership. I think it's a question of how well other programs that aren't the most valuable property, most watched property in all of entertainment and media, things beyond the NFL, how well will they perform? We don't have real data on that. But you can't ask for a lot better than how well those Thursday night football games have been performing. And we've got Nielsen reports and got Amazon putting out press releases and things like that with real numbers measured by Nielsen, the same company that measures all the other numbers that we talk about in terms of TV ratings. It's encouraging that those broadcasts are doing as well as they're doing. And I would think it makes it less of a risk to sell, let's say, SmackDown to Amazon Prime and to be reassured that you're not sacrificing all of this reach that you are getting from Fox. Let's say Fox is really giving you the reach because they're in basically every television home because you can pick it up through an antenna, if nothing else. So Amazon seems like a real player for maybe SmackDown, I would think, because it seems like more of a foregone conclusion that Raw has been with NBC Universal for a long time. Why wouldn't it stay? They got the NXT, they got the Peacock stuff, got the Miz and Misses and all that. Why wouldn't it stay with NBC Universal? But we've heard rumblings that, you know, maybe Fox is not really pleased with how SmackDown is performing. And you could see Amazon wanting to make more of an investment in getting people to go to Amazon Prime to watch content, including live content. SmackDown might seem like something that would interest them. They certainly have the money.
When you discuss the TV deals, so basically the same day stuff would probably be split. Like, let's just say Amazon gets SmackDown, right? So they would have next day SmackDown rights. And then like Peacock would have next day Raw and next day NXT.
Perhaps, or however they want to make the deal. You know, there's no reason why it couldn't be next day to Amazon, I suppose, if it was favorable to them to make the deal that way. Peacock sound, but the way you described it sounds maybe more likely if the live rights end up going that way, SmackDown to Amazon, Raw to NBCU.
It almost sweetens both deals too. It's like, hey, and you'll get next day rights for, let's throw extra, how many million? So these short-term deals, I mean, the current TV deals don't end up until the fall of 2024. So we might have to deal with this on Hulu where it says expiring, not expiring for
could be
probably 10 to 12, 13 times.
Could be. Or maybe they've made a deal that says September 2024 by now. We just don't know. Yeah. And I've asked WWE and I've asked Hulu. Haven't heard back. I mean, I haven't asked them recently, but I have asked them in recent weeks. You know, and like a lot of things, you don't get a response.
All right. Let's discuss the Elimination Chamber.
Yes. What about it?
Yes. So, this is from WWE. The Bell Center in Montreal will host Elimination Chamber on Saturday, February 18, 2023. Elimination Chamber marks the first premium live event to take place in Montreal in 14 years. Following the success of WWE's recent Canadian live event tour, Friday Night SmackDown will also emanate from the Bell Center on Friday, February 17th, 2023.
Yes. WWE also announced, we were talking about this off air, WWE also announced that they're going to do their earnings report a day early, so Wednesday next week instead of Thursday, big news in the WrestleNomics world. But anyway, they did announce this too, that I was kind of expecting Elimination Chamber maybe to be in Saudi Arabia again like it was last year. I was kind of expecting, you know, a February or March Kingdom of Saudi Arabia event. It seems like they got to do two every year. So This is February. This date is February, right? What's the date?
It's February 18th. Yeah, the 17th will be the SmackDown NAM.
Right, and they're doing two nights, which is interesting.
Yeah. Which they're not straying away from the Saturday nights. That's staying with the Nick Khan Saturday night model. It looks like into 2023.
But where is the Saudi Arabia event is the big question to me, I suppose. I would be very surprised if they were about to let go of their Saudi deal or something just because Vince is gone. I highly doubt that that's happening.
No.
But who knows? I mean, the regularity of these Saudi events have changed over time, and it's not like the Saudi events take this creative precedence. You know, they're just they as I think people have often remarked, or I have, that these are kind of like televised house shows in a lot of cases that are, you know, how much are they making? How much is WWE making per Saudi deal?
$50 million. Yeah.
$50 million a show. $50 million. Yeah.
About the Saudi, so I mean, March, early to March would make sense because late March is WrestleMania.
Yeah. So it'd be March.
Yeah.
You don't have something in that month until WrestleMania. And this is kind of early, so maybe they could do, you know, earlier mid-March. So look forward to learning more about that as Crown Jewel approaches. So that's all for now. 30 minutes has passed. All done?
I mean, we had one little quick story in the WWE stock, but I'm sure you'll have something on Twitter about it.
We'll leave that for Sunday then. Talk to you on Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.